We're turning tonight for our Bible reading to the book of Jonah, the Old Testament minor prophet of Jonah. And we're going to read from chapter 1, Jonah chapter 1, and reading from the opening verse of the chapter. Jonah chapter 1. And the first verse. He's known as a minor prophet, not because his message was minor, just because of the length of the record that we have of his ministry here. And very often, while these men are called minor prophets, they had a very, very important message for their day and also for our day. And we're going to read the opening chapter. The book of Jonah, of course, deals largely with Jonah himself. Not so much the land that he went to preach to or what he actually preached. That's just contained in a sentence or two. But it really has to do with the man himself. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1, let us hear the word of the Lord. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it off them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless the men rowed hard to bring it to the land. But they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. The Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Amen. We'll finish there at verse 17, and we trust that God will bless to our hearts the reading of his precious word. Glad to welcome the Reverend Millen back tonight. One stage I thought he wasn't going to appear at all. He got caught up in that traffic in Belfast with the car rallying event that's on Stormont. And we're glad he's here, and we're glad he's here in safety as well. I'm going to hand over to him with the prayer that God will bless his word tonight. As he has said on every other night that he's been here, the gospel mission is a very solemn time. Christ is passing by. Amen. The Bible tells us we are to seek the Lord while he is to be found, call upon him while he is near. And may what we've just been singing be the prayer, the genuine, earnest, heartfelt prayer of your soul. Tonight will be the night when you will come to Jesus Christ. We're glad to welcome our brother. We're going to hand over to him as he brings God's word.
Let me again thank the Reverend Mercer for those words of welcome. It's good to see you as well. And thank you for coming. And we pray that God will bless you richly this evening. And again, let me reiterate the words of the Reverend Mercer. If you're here for the first time, thank you especially for coming this evening. It's good to see you. And those that have never missed a meeting, well, that's an encouragement to your minister and an encouragement to me to see you here every night and the Sunday afternoons. Thank you for coming. God will bless you. And let me thank the children for coming too. It's good to see the boys and girls here at the mission. And children, you will remember these missions. That's one thing that will stick in your heart and stick in your mind, these gospel missions and these gospel meetings that have taken place even this fortnight. Thank you for coming. Keep on praying. Pray that the tide will rise, that God will step in and God will really bless. Tomorrow night, really pray that God will bless, and tomorrow night we'll see precious souls come to Christ. And remember the final meeting as well. Really invite others in. Pray for them and seek to get them under the preaching of the gospel. My, you could be in no better place where the word of God is preached. And as your minister has said, Jesus is passing this way, is passing this way today. We're turning to the book of Jonah and the chapter 1. Take your time and turn up to the word of God. It is one of those minor prophets, as has been already mentioned. It's tucked away there in the Old Testament. And sometimes you fitter about and you can't find it. And you fitter and you fitter, and then you get embarrassed. And then you just open the Bible up anywhere, because you don't want folks to find out you can't find out the book of Jonah. But take time and find it. And even you have to go to the index, don't feel embarrassed. You find out where this book is. Because if you're a Christian especially, when you get to heaven, you'll be talking to Jonah up there, and he'll be wanting to know if you turned up his book and read it. And with the word of God open before us, and in our hands, we're going to stand to our feet, change our positions. It's very warm in here. I know it is. We don't want you to fall asleep. There was an eccentric preacher called Dr. Kidd. And somebody wrote a book, Some Kid But Definitely No Goat. He was called Dr. Kidd. He was a great preacher. And when he saw people nodding off, he realized it wasn't a sanctified nod. They were just wandering off. And so he would lift the Bible and he would say, if you don't hear the word, you'll feel it. And he would throw it at them. So if you fall asleep, I'm not going to throw the word at you. But I pray that the word will get in your heart this evening. Let's bow together as we seek the Lord's face. Lord, we come now to thee. And we thank the Lord that you have the words of eternal life. And we ask, Lord, that tonight you will come amongst us. Lord, we pray that the Spirit of God will fall upon this meeting. Lord, we want an old-fashioned gospel meeting. We want, Lord, old-fashioned preaching. We want, Lord God, old-fashioned praying in this mission. And we want, Lord, old-fashioned conversion in this meeting. And we pray that the Spirit himself will come. Lord, we can never presume upon, Lord, the presence of the Lord. We can never assume that because he blessed last week, that he will bless this week. Lord, we're crying to thee. We're lifting our hearts unto God this evening. And we pray that God will come amongst us. We know that where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. And Lord, there's no better place for us to be tonight but in, Lord, this place where we're meeting with God. And we ask, Lord, that you'll help the preacher. And you'll help him, Lord, to unsheath the sword of the Spirit. Help him, Lord, to get a good grip of it tonight. Lord, like Eliezer in the Old Testament, he had such a grip of the word that, Lord, when he went to leave it down, he couldn't, Lord, for the word gripped onto him. And Lord, may thy word grip our hearts this evening. Lord, may thy word direct us to the cross this evening. May thy word direct us to Jesus Christ. And may we see him tonight, Lord. Oh, might we behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, thank God we've got good news to tell this people tonight that Jesus hath done all things well. Hallelujah. And triumphed over death and hell. That's the news. Help us, Lord, to proclaim it tonight and bring souls to Christ. And Lord, we pray that even backsliders in this meeting, those that have gone cold in heart, the backslider in heart is filled with his own ways. And we pray, Lord, that you'll speak to the backslider and, Lord, draw them back to their first love. Save in this meeting. Bless your people, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The book of Jonah, chapter 1, this is one of those books that is very much criticized. There are those who hate the Word of God. Those who claim to love the Word, yet they hate the book of Jonah. And they would love to wrench it out of the canon of Scripture. They don't want to believe, or they cannot believe, that Jonah would be swallowed by a great fish. You see, they have small views of our God. I believe that this book is part of the canon of Scripture. I believe that, as it is exactly said, I believe that the whale swallowed Jonah. I was reading a commentator who was commentating on this passage, and he believed that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. And he said this, if the book and if the Bible had said that Jonah swallowed the whale, he would still believe it, and I would be amongst them. Because I believe in a most powerful God tonight. And I believe that the God of heaven who spoke this world, these worlds of ours, this world of ours into existence. I believe that the God who formed this world by the power of his word is able to do this mighty miracle that he did. And I believe in a God of miracles. And I believe that God can save you tonight if you're in this meeting. And I thank God that God can make the drunkard sober. I thank God that He can make the harlot pure. I thank God that He can deliver the drug addict. I thank God there's power in our God this evening, and there's power in the blood. And we want to look here at this man Jonah. Now, if you note with me in verse 1, notice what it says. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. I want you to note that. Nineveh, cry against it, verse 2, for their wickedness is come up before me. The city of Nineveh was of great size, but it was also noted for its great sin and its immorality. And Jonah was commanded by God to go and preach against this city. To preach repentance unto God, or God would overthrow the city. The city of Nineveh is in modern day Iraq. Some tell us it is the modern day of Mosul in the northern Iraq. That's where all the fighting is going on at the moment. And I want you to note here that the word of the Lord came on to Jonah. Verse 1, it tells us that. Can I just say it's a great privilege to have the Word of God. God spoke to Jonah. That's a wonderful thing, you know, when God speaks to a people. Just let me say to the Christian today, did God speak to you today? Did he? There are some Christians, you know, and they can go weeks without the Lord speaking to them. I always ask the Lord to speak to me. What did he say to you today? What did he say to you today? And if you're a saved person today, God should speak to you, and he does speak to you. And if you're in the Word of God, you should ask that God speak to you, because God wants to speak to you. Jonah was privileged. You know, we're a privileged people in Ulster. And can I tell you, you're a privileged people in Kilkeel tonight. Because this gospel mission is a time when God speaks to us. And a special time when he speaks to you and to me.
And if you're in this meeting unsaved, God is speaking tonight. It's not the voice of Philip Millen you will hear. It's the voice of the Savior you will hear. And that's what I want you to hear. Because if you only hear the voice of Philip Millen, it's a failure. But tonight God is speaking. How privileged and honored we are tonight to have the precious Word of God. There's no book like it. I mentioned parents, grandparents that I had many years ago, away up on the North Antrim coast. Away up there, some people would say the county of Antrim is God's county. Well, that's where two great revivals began in Ulster. The great revival, the 6 Mile Water Revival, way back in the 1600s and 40s began in the county of Antrim. And the 59 Revival began in the county of Antrim as well. And my grandparents were way up there. They were farmers, humble farmers. It was the day of the horse and the plow. And I can remember something that stuck out of my mind about my grandparents was that when you went into the hall, there was a hall table and there was a big Bible sat there. And you weren't allowed to put anything on top of the Bible because it was the Word of God. It was a very precious book, you know. This book is not as precious as it used to be, but it should be. Because it was this book that made Britain Great Britain. Because Britain in those days, in the days of Queen Victoria and before her, they ruled the world because they abided by the Word of God. And they brought the Word of God to many countries and worlds. And they liberated them. There's nothing like the power of the Word to liberate souls. I believe in the book. I'm old-fashioned enough to believe in the authorized version of God's Word. Inspired from Genesis to Revelation. Maybe you're a free Presbyterian. Do you love this old book? Do you love its truths? Oh, it's a precious book. You know, we have become familiar with the book today in Ulster, and we leave it aside in our drawers, and we never turn to its pages from one week to another week. Or we turn to the television, and we turn to the newspapers, but we don't turn to God's Word. And we should, you know, out in many countries away off, far distant lands of this world, where they've never had the Bible or copies of the Bible. You know, they're just crying out tonight in places like India and places like China. And they're crying out for a copy of the Word of God. And there's a hungering today for the Scriptures in those parts of the world. But today in Ulster, we don't love it as much as we should love it. God has magnified His Word above His name. That's how precious it is. And you know, the word of the Lord comes to Jonah. This mission is a time when the word of the Lord is coming to you folks. Do you hear the voice of Christ? Maybe some of you have been spoken to in this mission last week. Maybe some of this week already. And God is speaking to you. But let me remind you that the God that speaks to you tonight may never speak to you tomorrow. For He says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." And it's a great privilege to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, gospel missions always warm the hearts of God's people. It's a thrill to hear the gospel preached again. And if it's warmed your heart, child of God, thank God for it. Always cherish the word of God. I was thinking, just as I was coming down, away back in 1804 in the Principality of Wales. I got a great welcome when I first came here. A brother at the door said, "Welcome to the Kingdom of More," and I thought that was nice. But there was a wee girl way back in 1804. She was called Mary Jones. And because of her desire, you know, to get a copy of the Scriptures, the British and Foreign Bible Society was formed. And wee Mary Jones lived in the Principality of Wales in 1804. She was about 6 or 8 years of age. And she went to old Methodist meetings in those days. And she saw the preacher, and she heard him, and she saw the Bible that he had in his hands, and she heard him preach the Word of God. And you know, it struck a chord in her heart, and wee Mary Jones wanted a Bible. But nobody had a Bible in those days. or at least there were very few Bibles in the Principality of Wales, and anybody who had them, they were very precious copies to them. And we Mary Jones wanted a copy of the Scriptures, you know, but she couldn't read, or she couldn't write. And her dear mother used to say, "Precious as the Word is in your hands, more precious it is in your heart." And that's right. But wee Mary Jones was determined to read the Scriptures. And there was a wee school opened up nearby. And she was able to go to that school. And she was able to learn to read and to write. And you know what she wanted to read and write for? Because she wanted to read the Bible. She learned to read and write. But you know, she couldn't afford a copy of the Scriptures. So for 6 long years, after she learned to read and write, wee Mary Jones did chores around the home. She would lift eggs. She would collect them. She would do chores for her mother. She would tidy up the home. And she would collect all the money. And she would save it every day for 6 long years. And when the 6 years passed by, she was able to afford a copy of the Scriptures. But here's the disappointment. There were no Bibles to be found in the wee village that she lived. But she had heard that 25 miles away there was a consignment of Bibles had arrived there to a Christian. And so a friend and her decided that they would go the 25 miles to this little village, and there they would get a copy of the Scriptures. Now there was no roads. She had no shoes on her feet. She had to cross fields, she had to cross ditches, she had to go over hedge rows to get to the 25 miles. It took her all day. And that night she stayed in a friend's house. And the next morning, she was to go to this Mr. Charles's home. And there with her money that she had saved for 6 years, collected, saved it, every penny, scraped for it. She had now read it, but I'll tell you something, before she had got the Bible, she had learned to memorize huge portions of God's Word. And when she came to Mr. Charles's home, he brought her in, and she was able to recite the 23rd Psalm. She was able to recite so many portions of God's Word, and she hadn't got a Bible. And Mr. Charles was overwhelmed by the knowledge of this wee girl. And then he said to her, "You know, I've got disappointing news for you." She had come 25 miles. She had collected 6 years for a Bible, but he says, "I haven't got a copy of the Word." And just then, she broke down and she wept. She put her hands to her face, and she sobbed, and she sobbed, and she sobbed, that she couldn't get a Scripture, a copy of the Scriptures. Mr. Charles was so overwhelmed with her emotion, so overwhelmed with her desire to have a copy. He said, "You know, I've held back just a couple of copies for people who've ordered these Bibles." And he says, "Much as I cannot give you their copies, yet I am prevailed upon by your weeping and your crying. I must give you the copy of the Scriptures." And he went up and he reached and he got down a copy of the Scriptures. And he reached a copy of the Bible to that wee girl. Those tears soon turned into tears of joy. And that wee girl went home so happy that she had a copy of the Scriptures of truth. What about you tonight? Do you know there's no volume like the Bible? Because there are precious truths in this Bible. Precious truths. Truths that will save your soul. Truths that will redeem you from the darkness of sin. Truths that will take you home to heaven. This is a great book, you know. Do you love the book? But more important, do you love the Saviour in the book? I want you to note here it says in verse 1, and we want to look at the word of the Lord, and then we'll look at the wind of the Lord, and then we'll look at the wheel of the Lord. You say, "Well, it doesn't mention the book of Jonah, it's a whale that's swallowed him. It says it's just a great fish." Well, if you read the New Testament commentary on it, Jesus Christ quoted this passage. That's why I believe, you know, in the book of Jonah, because Jesus Christ quoted it. And if you don't believe in the book of Jonah, you don't believe in Jesus Christ, for he believed in the book. And he mentions the great fish was a whale. And I want us just to look at the wind, or the word of the Lord here. And it comes to Jonah, and it says on him to, in verse 2, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me." Verse 3, I want you to note this, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." There's disobedience to the word of the Lord. That's an awful thing, you know, to disobey the Lord. Let me just speak to those that are not saved in this meeting. Let me speak to you young men that are not saved. Let me speak to you young women that are not born again. Let me speak to you mother and father that are not saved. You know you're living in disobedience to the word of the Lord, because God commands all men everywhere to repent. Do you know what the command of God is? In the New Testament, in John's Gospel, chapter 3, he says, You must be born again. It's not something optional. It's not something additional. Some people say to me, "But Mr. Miller and I go to church every Sunday." Praise God for that. Some people say to me, "I read my Bible every day." Praise God for that. Do you know those people on 9/11 that threw the aircraft into the Twin Towers and blew them up and killed thousands of people? You know they read the Quran every day. It's Jesus Christ, you know. It's Jesus Christ that says you must be born again. It's Jesus Christ that commands all men everywhere to repent. And if you're not saved, if you haven't repented of your sins, if you haven't turned to Jesus Christ, you know what you're doing. You're living in disobedience to the Lord. And I want you to note here, in verse 3, I want you to note here, not only is he disobeying, but it says, "And he went down." Look at verse 3. "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down." Notice the Holy Spirit draws our attention to some phrases, some words here in verse 3. This is the direction of Jonah. He's rising up to flee from the presence of the Lord. But you will notice in verse 3 and verse 5, and all through this passage, every word that almost it says about him, he's going down. Look at it says in verse 3. "And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down." Notice the repetition there in verse 3 of the words "went down." Look at verse 5. "Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down." Can I say this? The gospel is the great uplifter. When you get a nation, you get a country that's living in rejection of God and God's word, that nation is going down. Ulster's going down. Ulster is going down. Can I say that? We have immorality. We have idolatry. We have wickedness that we never witnessed before. When I was growing up as a young fella, I knew nothing about sodomy. I knew nothing about homosexuality. I knew nothing about immorality. I'm not saying I was innocent. Far from it. I was a guilty sinner. But you know, there are sins today that people long ago were ashamed to speak of. The news agents in my day, you had to go to the very back of the shop if you wanted to see the immoral magazines. Now they're up at the very door, in our very faces today. Ulster is going down! There's only one thing that left Ulster up. It's not politics, I'll tell you. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, let me remind you. Going down. And let me tell you something. You're going down in this meeting. If you disobey the Lord and don't receive Him as your Savior, you're going down. You're going down. And I'll tell you where you'll go down to. You'll go down to hell. That's strong language, you say. Well, I'm just quoting the Word of God. W.P. Nicholson was a great godly preacher in the 1920s. When there was rioting in the streets of Belfast, through his preaching, that riot
turned into revival.
And he preached one time in Australia. 60 churches had gathered together in Perth. And they'd hired a big hall. It seated some 3,800 people. W.P. Nichols are way back in the 1900s, early 1900s. And some of the ministers got mad at W.P. Nicholson. And of course it was the same in Ulster when he preached. You either loved him or you loathed him. He had a very tough attitude and tough exterior. And if you come into his meetings and disrupted the meetings, he went down himself and he threw you out. And one fellow came in who was drunk. And he said to him, he said, sit down and be quiet. But the fellow kept carrying on. And he says, I can't do what the Lord Jesus Christ did. The Lord Jesus Christ would cast the demon out of you, but I'll do the next best thing, and I'll cast you and the demon out. And he went down and he did it. You don't do that today. Nobody would come and hear your minister if he started doing that. But you know, he was preaching in Perth, in Australia. And some of the ministers got mad with him. And they said, since you've been here, it's been nothing but hell and damnation and brimstone. And they said to him, if you were more like Jesus, you would preach on the love of Jesus Christ more often. All you seem to do is preach on hell. And he said, you know, if there's anything I would like to preach like W.P. Nichols said, I'd like to preach like Christ. And he said to those ministers, he said, let's turn to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And let's look how many times Jesus Christ preached on hell, how many times he preached on heaven. And he turns them to John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 1. And he says, you know, just one reference, direct reference Jesus makes to heaven, just once. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And then he took him to other passages. And they discovered that Christ preached 13 times directly on hell. Of course, there are many other references to heaven in the New Testament. And of course, there are many other references to hell. But Jesus Christ's direct references to hell are numbered 13 times. So he turned to these people and he said, Christ preached only once directly on heaven. And he preached 13 times directly on hell. And if I preach once, I'd be like Christ. And if I preach twice, I'd be more like Christ. And I'm going to preach on hell because he preached 13 times on it. So the Bible says, where the tree falls, there should it lie. And if you're not saved and you die in your sins, there's no hope in the Bible for you. There's no purgatory. There is no purgatory. If you die without Christ, even though you're baptized, you say, I've been sprinkled when I'm a child. Well, we thought that, you know, your minister and your brother Noel here, we would stand. If sprinkling of water got you into heaven, we would stand and sprinkle everybody in the meeting. It'll make you wetter, but it'll never make you any better. Some people say to me, you know, my name's on the communion roll of the church. Might as well be on a sausage roll because I won't get you into heaven. Your name needs to be in the Lamb's Book of Life, indelibly inscribed by Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this tonight. Are you washed in the blood of Christ? Have you accepted His Savior? Are you living in disobedience and you're going down? You might say, well, why did he refuse? Well, perhaps it was because Jonah was a Jew and the inhabitants were Gentiles, or the inhabitants of Nineveh. And the Jews had no dealings with the Gentiles. It went against his nature, you might think. And you say, well, why am I not saved? I'll tell you why you're not saved. Because here's your nature. Your nature is against God. Your nature is a sinful nature. And from the crown of the head to the sole of your foot, there's nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Do you know the Bible says about your heart? It is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But the Lord knows it. Your heart's wicked. And if it wasn't this restraining grace of God in your life, you would be far more wicked than you are. But God has restrained you from evil. You need your heart washed in the precious blood of Christ. You need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You will notice this man was going down. And I want you to note in verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And I want you to know what it says in the middle of verse 3. It says, he paid the fare thereof. Here's the deception of sin. He paid the fare, but he never got to Tarshish. He never got the whole way. He just got a wee bit because the Lord sent in verse 4 a great storm, and he only got a wee bit. And this is the deception of sin. Sin, you know, promises you much, but it never delivers. It never delivers, can I tell you? It doesn't deliver. The advertisements that advertise the alcohol and the television, they don't tell you the full story. They don't tell you about the sickness. They don't tell you about the devastating effects sin has on our young people. Read some of those newspapers that show you terrible photographs of young people when they get drunk. Doesn't tell you about the next morning. Doesn't tell you about the drugs, does it? We had a young girl, 19 years of age was, and she went to a hellhole, Kelly's in Portrush. And you know, they fed her with drugs, and they fed her with drugs. And when she hadn't got enough money, they still fed her with drugs. Ah, she was having a good time while she was there, but when she came home, you know, she couldn't sleep at night. Hallucinations. Having weird visions. Felt she was falling into hell. I tell you something. The devil promises you young people. He promises you everything out there. But you will pay the fare thereof. Speak to the woman that has had an abortion. They didn't tell her that after she had the abortion, the guilt that you would have, the remorse that you would have, the sleepless nights that you would have. Oh, the homosexuals don't tell us what follows homosexuality. It's the judgment of God. Millions, millions of people in Africa, you know they're dying because of AIDS, but they don't tell you about that. It's because of sin. You will pay the fare thereof. Just a few years ago, two young fellas. They went into Columbine High School in the United States of America, Colorado. They were involved in drugs. They were involved in the occult. They were involved in darkness and sin and wickedness. And they were then dressed two black dark trench coats in a macabre celebration of Hitler's birthday. They went into Columbine High School with high-powered rifles and revolvers, and they began to shoot all the young people at that school. And they shot and they shot and they shot, and they killed one young person after another. And they came to a young girl in the library. She was called Cassie Burnell. That morning, Cassie Burnell had got up. She had kissed her mother. Cassie Burnell was a Christian. And her mother had kissed her goodbye. But little did her mother realize that for the last time she would see her. Because those two fellas, or one of them, came. And they put the gun to her head. And here's what he said to her. Do you believe in God? That's some question, isn't it? What about the Christians if he said to you, do you believe in God? And the guns at your head, what would you say? And Cassie Brunel said yes. And he pulled the trigger. And he put a bullet through her head. And her struggle, she put up her hand, but he blew the thumb of her hand. You can read her book. Or you can read the mother's book about her. Those two young fellas were driven on by the devil. And they killed many young people in that school. You pay the fare. I know there's pleasure in sin. But it's only for a season, and you will pay the fare. For the wages of sin is death. It is. It's death. Read the obituary poems. And you read about people who die. You know what it is? It's sin. It's sin that brings forth death. And I'll tell you what it does. It brings forth eternal death. But tonight there's a great remedy for sin. Oh, there's great sin, but there's a great Saviour. And he's called the Lord Jesus Christ. And he paid an awful price in order that your sin might be washed away and forgiven. Do you know this Saviour? Notice what happens. Not only do we have the word of the Lord here, but we have the wind from the Lord. Look at verse 4. Here's this man, and he's paid the fare thereof, and he's on his way. At least he thinks he's on his way. Is everything going well for you? And you think you're getting on well disobeying the Lord? You think you're getting all well? Oh, I'm enjoying myself. I'm having a great time. It says this, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. Notice what it says in verse 4. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. I want you to notice. Do you know the Lord's in charge of the wind? Nothing happens by chance. Nothing happens by chance. And if you won't listen to the word of God, God will have to send the wind, a storm into your life. And maybe there is a storm in your life. Maybe there's a storm blowing. And things are falling apart. And the storm is coming with such ferocity. You know, I read in my Bible, there's coming a storm that will end all storms. And it's called the storm of God's wrath. And you read in the book of Revelation chapter 6, where the mighty man, the chief man, when that storm comes, will ask to be hid from the wrath of the Lamb. They'll call on the rocks and they'll call on the mountains to hide them from the face of the wrath of the Lamb. It's going to be a storm. There's coming a storm on this world. Let me tell you something. Here's a storm. Maybe there's a storm blowing. Is there a storm blowing in your life? Notice what happens in verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid. Here are our seasoned sailors. Here's the men that knew how to sail these ships. Here's the mariners. And notice what they're doing in verse 5. And they're crying every man unto his God. Here's the hard men. Oh, there's some hard men, you know. There's some hard men. There's coming a day when you'll stand before God. Coming a day you'll stand before God. And we'll see how hard you are there. You know, we spoke about the Titanic just the other night. On the 14th of April, 1912, on her maiden voyage, her only voyage. And when she struck that iceberg, they didn't believe it. They didn't believe it. They didn't believe it. And the band were playing, "Roll out the barrel, we're having a barrel of fun." But when they realized it, I'll tell you, they strung up a different tune. And you know what they began to play? They began to play "Nearer, My God, to Thee." I'll tell you something. God can knock the stuffing out of you. When you're facing death and the storms are blowing, and when the great storm of death comes to you and you're standing at the River Jordan and the cold waters of the River Jordan are rolling at your feet and there's nobody there. Your daughter has gone away. Your family has gone away. You're all alone then.
you haven't got the Saviour then? How will you do in the swelling of Jordan?
Sometimes God sends storms in our life. Why? That we might waken up. For Jonah was asleep. These mariners. I'll tell you something. They're crying to their God. Notice in verse 5. It says, and they cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea. Oh, they were casting forth the precious things. They were casting forth the cargo. The precious cargo in that vessel. You see how little they think of the cargo when they're in difficult waters. I'll tell you something. These material things and these things of this world. I'll tell you, when it comes to the day of your death, you'll see what they're worth. Did you ever see a hearse with a tow bar behind it? I've never saw one. They say, you know, there's no pockets and shrouds. That's right. How much will you leave? I'll tell you what you'll leave when you die. You'll leave everything. And maybe you're a young person and God is sending a storm in your life. Maybe you're out in the roads the other night. Nobody knows it. But God knows it, and your car was near a terrible accident, and God spared you. Maybe you're a mother here and you lay in a bed of sickness and you said to the Lord, Lord, raise me up out of this bed of sickness and I'll live for you. And God has raised you up, but here you are tonight and you've forgotten all about your vows and your prayers. They cast forth the wares thereof. And it says this, but Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Isn't that a strange thing? Isn't that a strange thing, this man here, down in the sides of the ship, and he's fast asleep. All the creaking of the ropes, all the dashing of the waves, all the howling of the winds, all the straining of the timbers, all the shouting of the mariners, and he's fast asleep. How can people sleep in meetings when other people are stirred up coming to Christ? Do you ever think about that? Some people, you know, they're looking up. Wish that preacher would shut up. Can't wait to get out of meeting. Fast asleep. Nothing as deadly as the opiates of sin to put you into a sleep. Nothing as deadly. And maybe God's sending a storm. But still you're fast asleep. You don't see behind it is the hand of our God. And God is driving you to Jesus Christ, but you don't see it. But maybe there's somebody who does see it. You know, a few years ago, time has gone, I know. A few years ago, there was a young girl left with her parents to Australia. And she went to Sydney. And she stayed there. She never lived in a big city before. And so she gave her life over to a life of complete godlessness and rebellion. As a young girl, she'd made a profession. But when she got away, she forgot about her profession. On August the 17th, 1991, she and her boyfriend were walking down a shopping mall. And they encountered a man with an AK-47 rifle. He had just killed 7 people. And his 9th was to be this girl. Or the 8th was to be this girl. And he fired at her. And he hit her in the groin. And her and her boyfriend, in a frantic escape to get away, slid down 3 flights of stairs in that shopping mall. And they managed to get away and he shot himself. The gunman. That was a storm in her life, wasn't it? She couldn't get over it. She rarely left her house. And when she did leave her house, she was scared that something would happen to her. And she was scared for this one reason. Because she didn't really know the Lord. But just a couple of years later, she heard a sermon preached. She went to a little church
And the preacher was preaching on this subject. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And you know, that was like an arrow in her heart. That was God's word for her. 2 days afterwards, that wee girl came to Jesus Christ and got gloriously and wondrously saved. But it was the storm. It was the storm. Notice here, time is gone. It says in verse 17, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah." You know the story. You know how the storm is raging and the mariners take him up, Jonah, and they cast him out. And it says God prepared a great fish. What a miracle that was. This big whale comes alongside and they cast him forth, the mariners, into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging, and the big fish swallowed up Jonah. What a miracle. The Lord saved them. Do you know, I have no difficulty in believing that. I'll tell you of a greater miracle. I'll tell you the miracle of the cross. I'll tell you about the miracle of Jesus Christ dying for sinners that you might be saved. And Jesus Christ stands waiting and ready to welcome you, sinner, tonight. And I'll tell you what he'll do. When he saves you, he changes you. He washes your sins away. No matter how sinful you've been, as far as the east is from the west, so far will our Lord remove our transgressions from us. That's a miracle, you know. When a person gets saved, it's a miracle of God and a miracle of grace. That miracle of salvation can be performed in your life tonight. And God can save you. And God can save you in this meeting, even tonight as you sit there. You don't have to put your hand up. You don't have to come forward. Do you know all you have to do is cry to God to forgive you of your sins and to wash your sins away in his precious blood. And you know, simply call upon him by faith, resting in Jesus Christ and what he has done for you on the cross. Have you ever personally received Christ as your Savior? Have you ever repented of your sin and said, "Jesus, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come." Jesus is passing this way. And for you, it may be the last time. May you come to Christ even tonight. Let's bow together for prayer.
Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the account that we've been considering tonight. We thank thee, Lord, for the clarity of thy word. We think of Christ himself using this picture of Jonah, this event in Jonah's life, and pointing to the fact that he would die and 3 days later be raised again. And we thank thee that in our dying, rising and living Saviour, there is a Saviour from all sin.
Hallelujah.
And our Father, we pray tonight as we come to the closing minutes of this meeting, that Lord, thou wilt speak to souls. Lord, rather than them running away from thee, as Jonah sought to do, Lord, they would run towards thee.
Amen.
And trust thee as their Saviour. Lord, if souls do not take heed to the warning storms of life, there is a greater storm ahead. And our Father, we pray that souls might realize tonight, if never before, that Jesus Christ is the Rock of Ages.
Hallelujah.
Cleft for them. Lord, draw souls to thyself, we pray. Prosper the going forth of thy word tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.